In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I'll never give up. I'll never freak out. I'll never stress out. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. What's that referring to? What's that descriptive of?
Satan attack,
maybe? Yeah. Storm. Stormy blast. You're in a little boat. Storm blows up. And but he says right there, I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. God doesn't keep you from the storm. He just always gets you through it. You get that point? All right. So this verse that we're focusing on tonight, be still and know that I am God, is for us to get us to go through the storm. All right. So when we come to that verse and it says, be still and know, I mean, it's hard to know that you know it until it's tested. Okay. One of the things about faith is no good until it's in action, until it's doing something. You understand? And if you say you believe God's in control, you're going to be tested, whether you really believe that or not. This is one of the most precious verses in the scripture for the Christian. I don't care how old you are, to hear God say everything's okay is a good thing. Amen. It's like the pilot, all right? The plane, Ryanair. They're not paid very much, you know. But anyway, they go through that turbulence. And you know, Ireland's the only place where when the plane lands, everybody collapses. Always, you always worry about that. But here's this pilot, and you're going through that storm. And the pilot says, just a little bit longer. We're going up a little higher. It's going to be okay. Just hold on. And that reassures you, doesn't it? And when God says, just be still. Just trust me. I'm God. That ought to just stop us and go, okay, I trust you. See, one of the greatest truths that Daniel was taught was about eight things. And it should go bang, 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 and I forgot to click it. But Daniel was taught from his earliest age, as we've heard over and over, he had been taught by his parents and by his peers and by other people some characteristics about God. You know, most children learn. They learn Bible stories, which is not a bad thing. They learn that we ought to love one another. It's not a bad thing. But there's something when a young boy especially learns the character of God. They learn what God is. And Daniel learned that God is good. And when you listen, I grew up with evil doctors. I'm dead serious. I never knew a good doctor. Because my mom, when she would take me to the doctor, they always told me, you're not going to get a shot. Don't worry, you're not going to get a shot. We're just sticking the thermometer back there. Don't worry. See, in the old days, they used to stick it in the back end, all right? But that was a precursor so that he could come out of nowhere and go wham with a shot in your rear end. Evil doctors. I grew up with evil doctors. I didn't trust doctors. Still don't, you know. Somebody says, trust your doctor. That's hard to do, amen? But when you hear, trust God, wow, we Christians got to get to the place where we realize God never does wrong. God never comes around and hurts you. God is good. Second thing that Daniel learned, these are all the characteristics of God, that God is right. He is absolutely, completely, without question, right in everything he does. He wouldn't be God if he ever made a mistake. Amen? Third, he's holy. Now, I know you claim to understand that, but when we think of the holiness of God, we can't comprehend how holy the holiness of God is. It is unfathomable how pure and how holy. The seraphim, the most powerful angels in the entire universe, they're in the presence of God. You know what they say, shaking? Holy! 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 That's what they say 24 hours, 7 days a week in the presence of Almighty God, because he is. And Daniel learned that God is holy. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. He learned that God has all knowledge. It's one of those omnis about the Bible where God has all knowledge, omniscient. He knows everything. And isn't that wonderful? He knows all about you and he still loves you.
Amen.
Amen. He has all knowledge. He is omnipotent. He has all power. God can do anything. Anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He has all power. He also is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. You know, when it talks about everywhere, it means he's in the past. At the same time, he's in your future. That is cool. All right? He's both the author and the finisher of my faith. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
See, Daniel learned not about only, you know, life and how to make a living and how to, you know, flirt with a girl and all the things that most guys all worry about. He learned about God. So when we look at the life of some of these men in the Bible, they were moved by a realization of who God is. And the one that we don't think about most is that he is Lord, that he is sovereign. Go to Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20 and 21. And listen to these words. We're going to try to go through this concept because as we read that, you know, through all the stormy blast, Daniel 2:20 and 21 says this. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." You want strength? You want something that's right and wise? They belong to God. Somebody once said it this way. If something's true, God had something to do with it. Because he is true. Goes on there, verse 21. And he, as far as mankind, it says, and he changes the times. You know what God could do right now? He could slow down the earth if he wanted to. And he'd just make every hour messed up. Amen? He did it a couple of times in the Bible, didn't he? He put the clock back one time for Hezekiah. Another time he stopped the sun and the moon from rising, the earth turning for almost a whole day. So when God wants to, he can really mess up time. He goes on and he says he changes the times and the seasons. They think climate change is what's going on, folks. It's not just getting warmer because of humans. It's getting warmer because of sin. And there's coming a day where it's going to finally burn up. This planet is. Goes on. He removeth kings. Watch this. Daniel's talking. He's talking to Nebuchadnezzar and he says, God removes kings.
Amen.
And he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. You know what God's name is? It's Jehovah. Did you know out of the 6,000 times in your Bible, the word Jehovah shows up? Almost, except for 7 times, almost without exception, it comes up in your King James Bible as L-O-R-D. You know what Jehovah means? He's in charge. He is Lord. Now, what does sovereignty mean, okay? What is this thing? When we're talking, I'm using a Bible word just to give you a thought here. Kind of sometimes you say words and they just go over people's heads and stuff, and I don't want to do that. The Bible doesn't use the word sovereign, but it uses the word Lord. And it simply means that God is in control of everything. Now that ought to just bless you. Go to, you can leave Daniel for a few minutes. Genesis 35. Genesis 35 and verse 11. Genesis 35 and verse 11. Genesis 35, 11, God's talking to Abraham, and God said unto him, he's talking to Abraham's grandson. Genesis 35, 11, and God said unto him, I am God. What's the next word?
Almighty.
All right, what's that word? All powerful. I'm God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Now, at this point, Jacob is between jobs. he doesn't have two pennies to rub together. You know how they invented copper wire, don't you? Two Jews fighting over a penny. That was good stuff. Anyway, he didn't have two pennies to rub together. And there he was. And God said, don't worry, I'm God Almighty. Isn't that good? You say, I don't have a job. I don't have this. I don't have a wife. God Almighty, if He's your God, you're okay. Amen. Isaiah 45, 22. Real precious. Wonderful, wonderful. Verse of scripture. Isaiah 45, 22. Look unto me and be ye saved. How many people is he talking to? All the ends of the earth. Look at his words. For I am God. Not Mary. For I am God and there is none else. So when we talk about the Lord, we're talking about somebody who's in control of everything. It also means that he's ruling. It's one thing to be in control. It's another one to actually be ruling. The one who has the authority to tell you what to do. Gentlemen, it was preached this morning. You need to have somebody in your life that can tell you what to do. And it shouldn't be your wife. Amen. Amen. I just watched a bunch of weak, wimpy men not able to say amen. You need to have somebody who's able to tell you that's wrong, what you just did and what you just said and what you're trying to do. Don't do that. You need to have somebody you trust so they can tell you off and say, don't do that. That's what you need. Somebody, because when you can let somebody be an authority of you, God will use that authority to help you. You say, well, they might tell me wrong. We don't have to believe everything they say, but you do need to listen to them, because God uses authority. And if you have no authority over you, the devil is. So here we're talking about somebody who rules you, is in control of you. He's actually holding everything together and he's directing everything to a good end. You know, these guys in Hollywood, they always have famous actors, you know. It was kind of cute learning about Will Smith crashing and burning. It's not that I hate the guy. I don't like him. It's not that I don't like him. But you see, we put all the emphasis on Will Smith. You know what made Will Smith? Directors. People who saw potential and said, you can act this way, now say it this way, now look this way. And they were given the authority to direct that light, that faker, that actor. But all of a sudden it made him into a megastar, amen? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, if you let God be the director of your life, I wonder where you might end up. Wow. See, if he's Lord, we're talking about if he's Lord, what could he do? Now he is Lord. It's whether you fight him or not. There is absolutely nothing that happens in the universe that is outside of God's influence and authority. There's absolutely nothing that's an accident. God's sovereignty means that he has absolute authority to do what he thinks is best and not you. There are a lot of things, man, when I and God talk, there's sometimes we disagree. You say, I go, Lord, I wouldn't do it that way. Lord, that's not what I want to do. But if he's Lord, I got to let him do what he thinks is best. You know, he has the power and the authority over wind and waves, doesn't he? Yes, amen. He has authority over kings and rulers. He has authority over the very laws of physics. Here's Jesus walking on water. Do you ever think of how impossible that is? I mean, it's fantastic.
In a storm.
He rules over the entire universe. Folks, every atom, every star, every planet, every galaxy is following his direction. Everything. That way, when you see something coming at you that's unexpected and floor falls out from under you, you can rest and be still and know he is God. Amen? Now, gentlemen, I hope you don't have any problems for the next year. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? If you could only go 1 week. But when the bottom falls out, and when the doctor calls and says, we need to have another follow-up examination, what are you going to do? Let's take it a little further. Did you know when wicked men, let me say it this way, it means that even when wicked men are in charge of our lives, they are actually under the sovereignty and control of Almighty God. Maybe quite plain. Go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Gospel of John chapter 19. Now I'm going to go somewhere with this because Daniel got this thing. Daniel 19 and verse 11. Jesus is standing before Pilate, and Pilate is bragging about how much power he has over everybody who comes into his court. And I mean, when criminals were standing in front of Pilate, I mean, they had to beg for mercy because Pilate had, what's that thing where you go like this or you go like this? I mean, he had power, folks. And listen to Jesus' words. John chapter 19, run down and back there in verse 8, that Pilate, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid and went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? Where'd you come from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Don't you say something? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? That's trying to scare him. Don't you know I have the power to crucify you and have the power to release you? Don't you realize I could just let you go? And listen to Jesus' response. Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Even a wicked, wicked governor, Jesus says, all power you got from my Father. Therefore, I'm okay. I will rest. You never see Jesus panicking. You never see Jesus trying to run. Wow. God actually, did you know God is actually in control of Satan enough? He's got him on a leash, folks. I know Satan is he's just got schemes and the wiles and the plans. I mean, he's got plans out the wazoo to ruin your life. And then Jesus pulls back and says, no, you're not going to go that far. Amen. Not going to let you do that. Nope, nope. You got to clear it with me first. Amen. See, I don't understand why God lets the devil do that. I don't have the answer. I just know I'm glad there's a leash. Amen. The devil cannot do what he wants. I know what he wants to do. What does the Bible say? Devour, murder, steal, kill. That's what he wants. And the Lord says, not today. Hallelujah. And the point is this. It means we can always, underline this word in your mind, you can always rest in his care. 1 Peter 5:7, don't go there, but casting how much of your care? What does care mean? Burdens, your worries, panics. I know men don't panic. Women do, right? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We can stop worrying about COVID.
Amen.
We can stop worrying about politics. We can stop worrying about George Soros.
Yep.
We can stop worrying about Bill Gates.
Yes.
We can, everything that we've talked about for the last 2 years, I think God laughs at.
Yes.
The only reason why there is so much sin rampant out there is because we've backed down. The Lord says, when the light goes dim, the darkness takes over. It's time for us to get back and shine.
Amen.
It's time for us to all get back and put the Word of God out there, put the gospel tracts out there, be the light in this world, be the salt we were saved to be, and the darkness flees. Amen. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, dear Christian. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen. Why don't we believe that? We're worried about what is George Soros figuring out next. I don't care. Because whatever he's planning on doing, the Lord can say, eh-eh. That's in the Greek.
Yeah.
Eh. Not today. I'll go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Here's that word. Here's that word. And we hope. Is that what it says?
No.
Come on, help me out. Say it with me. And we know that a few, that all things work together for good. Wait a minute, wait a minute. There are a lot of people who go to hell. We're not talking about people who go to hell. How many of you are saved tonight? Well, there's one amen. How many is saved tonight?
Yeah.
All right. Look at this Bible. Realize this verse is written only to the Christian. Somebody says, why is life so hard? Are you saved?
Yeah.
See, listen, this is as good as it's going to get if you're unsaved. But for the Christian, this is as bad as it's ever going to get.
Yeah.
So here's our verse. Say it with me. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, and to them that are the called according to his purpose. Wonderful, folks. Listen, there was a time, and I'm just going to, Mark chapter 11, don't go there, but Jesus puts his disciples, he actually has to constrain them, which means push them into the boat. He's pushing them in. They are tired. They have worked for days. On the last 8 hours, they fed 5,000 hungry men, and besides women and children. And Jesus said, we're going to go on a boat trip. And he has to constrain them to get in the boat. They see a storm coming. They look at Jesus. Jesus is smiling. Get in the boat. They get in the boat. Jesus lies down, and he takes a nap. They begin to row, and of course, every time the disciples go across the Sea of Galilee, a storm comes up. And as they go into the storm, and they row, and they row, and they row, they're sinking. And there's something in the corner of their eye that's aggravating. What is it? Jesus is asleep. And it says that Peter went, and I can imagine that Peter's, he doesn't hold back. I can just see him kicking Jesus with his back. I'm not going to hurt him, but I'm going to kick him a little bit. And he says, carest thou not that we perish? Those are his exact words. What does Jesus do? He gets up, goes up to the bow, and he says, shh. Be still. And then he turns right to those disciples, and he says, where is your faith? And he goes back to sleep, I guess.
What's he saying?
Don't panic. Stop. I'm in the boat with you. Did you hear me? You forgot I was with you. And there's like, folks, there are like five or six promises. Romans 8:28 is the top one. But there's another great promise you better remember. I will never leave you. Whatever ship you're in, however it's sinking, he's in the boat with you. Amen? You see that? All right. Now, thought here, just a real quick thought. Do you know, if you start to understand that God is Lord, that God is judge, you're going to have the fear of God. The things you say, the things you think you can get away with now, you're going to have to answer for one of these days, because guess who's watching? Guess who's actually noticing the words you're saying without even thinking about. What is the word? What is the Bible word? Idle. We even every idle word, every flippant word that we say. Oh, that preacher. Where does he get off? He didn't think about saying that. And the Lord says, "What'd you say that for?" Every idle word will bring brought forth into judgment. Listen, there. If God is in charge, it ought to scare us to death. Amen? It ought to make us stiffen up and go, you know, there's something about being watched by your dad. Something about when dad's watching you. I mean, when my dad showed me how to mow the grass, I didn't realize he had put me into a permanent position.
Yeah.
I mean, I was looking forward to mowing the grass, and all of a sudden I realized that's my job now forever. But you know what he would do? He would sit down on a lawn chair and watch me. I'm going, would he ever go in so I can just cut some corners and get inside again? God watches us. You know, if he is Lord and he's directing and he's watching me, it puts a fear of God in me. But the second thing is, man, I also rest in that care. I know, you know what? It's for my good. The question is, how are you going to react to his rule? Because go to Isaiah 30. Isaiah chapter 30. I don't know how I'm going to finish this message. Isaiah chapter 30. But if you could get something tonight, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, it's going to be this. Look at Isaiah 30, verse 15. And when I get to the last four words, I want you to say it with me. I'm going to read it, and then the last four words, I want you to join in. You ready? Chapter 30, verse 15. For thus saith... No, I don't. I'm the only one talking right now. Okay? But the last four words, you join in. Ready? Listen just to me. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Here you go. And ye would not. Just learning to rest. Just learning to trust can save your sanity. And what does God say? But you wouldn't. All right. Daniel's rest. Daniel's rest proves us. I'm going to quote that in a second. Proves to us that we can relax. That we get into a. There are some people who just get stressed out and they don't know how to live any other way. And I want to encourage you. If he is Lord. If he actually does know what's going on and actually has a plan and is actually working all together for good, I can sit back and go, I'll trust him. Listen to this word here. Hebrews 4:9 says this. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. Now there's three applications to that thing, but I'm only going to talk about one of them. And that is a lot of Christians are saved, but they've never been at rest about it. They've never been able to settle that they're saved. I'm a once saved, always saved Bible believer.
Amen.
See, a lot of people call that heresy. No, it's Bible.
Amen.
Folks, when God saved my soul, he saved me. Yes, I didn't help him at all. And I don't have anything to do with getting saved, much less losing salvation, because I would have lost it a long time ago. I just believed. But a lot of people, they get saved, but they don't find rest. They don't pick up their Bible and just enjoy. They don't come to church and just enjoy. They don't hand out a gospel tract and just enjoy because they're not at rest. But there's something about Daniel we need to learn about. He was at rest. Daniel was content with this sovereignty of God in five ways. Are you ready? With God's judgment on his nation. I don't have the time to go through it all. But you know what Daniel realized? When Nebuchadnezzar marched his army and surrounded Jerusalem, and for, I don't know, how long was it, Andrew? 2 years he was outside the walls. Shut that city up, made them starve. Then broke down those walls, then tore down the temple, slaughtered hundreds of thousands of people, dragging the best of the best 800 miles away to Babylon. You know, when Daniel looked back on that, he said, God was right to judge my nation. Are you okay with the fact that God right now is judging nations for sin? And I believe God's judgment on Ireland is coming very soon. There are some of you that came from South Africa. Some of you are coming from Ukraine. Some of you are coming from different countries. And have you not seen, not just Putin, you're seeing the judgment of God. And they're going to be bragging about, I deserve the same judgment. Let me just be real honest. Sometimes you're going to have to just sit back and go, God knows what he's doing. Even when it's the judgment of your own nation. And Daniel never argued with God. As a matter of fact, you hear him later on in Daniel 8, or sorry, 9 and 10. He says, Lord, you're right to judge our nation. And he never got bitter. Daniel lost everything. If you right now, if you lost your health, I think about this because I'm not that spiritual. But if I lost my health right now, you know how close I'd be to getting bitter? It'd be hard. Because I want to serve God healthy. I want to go on to see my great grandkids. Not for a while. Okay? But do you understand? All of a sudden, when you lose your health, your wife walks away. Your church folds up. Your boss fires you. I mean, your world falls out from under you. How hard is it to get bitter? Not hard at all. When Daniel lost his family, lost his nation, lost his freedom, lost his identity, you never find him bitter, do you? Secondly, he was at rest with God's will for his life. Wait a minute. He's a Jew. He's supposed to be living in Israel because that's where Jews live. He's supposed to be going to temple. He's supposed to be keeping the Sabbath. He's supposed to be learning how at that point to be a prince, to be a part of the royal family. He's supposed to be doing a job for God in his country. And you know where he's working? For an ungodly boss. surrounded by temptations. He's working with astrologers. How do you like to deal with somebody who says, I can't come to work today because the moon is in Pisces? And Venus hasn't risen yet. That's the kind of people he had to work with. And you know what? He never complained. He was at rest where, if God wants to put me in this job, I don't have to do what they do, but I'll be right in the middle of God's will. What if God called you to a place where he didn't want you to be? I always felt that God was going to call me to a place called Myanmar. How many know where Myanmar is? Myanmar is also known as Burma. It's over there in Asia. Because I read a missionary named Adoniram Judson, and I fell in love with missions. And I asked God, God, where would you want me to go? My God called me to come to Ireland. What if God called you to go someplace where they hated you? You know, there are some places over there in in Asia there, the Tamil rebels, lots of areas in Indonesia, areas I can't even think at this moment there, where Christians are being slaughtered by the thousands every day. We don't hear them in the news. What if God said, I want you to go and try to start a church there? What would you do? Would you say, I'm at rest. Let's get going. That's the old style missionary. The old style missionary had to learn a language. Had to leave home. And in the old days, they had to pack everything up because they weren't coming home. They went and they left and they lost their wives and their kids to malaria and disease. And they stayed going. And they said, I'm at rest with the will of God. Would you be? I'll say, life is so hard. God wants me to work for this boss that asked me to come in at half eight.
Yeah.
He was at rest with the will of God for his life. Third, he was at rest with God's ways. So when he comes up and he's got all this temptation there in chapter 1, and it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. You got to think, what would cause a man, a young man, to risk his life? I mean, what possibility and potential he might have to stay in that palace? He might be kicked out, whatever. Why would he risk it? Because he's trusting that God's smarter than the king. And if God said, don't eat meat offered to idols, he said, I'm not going to do it then. Amen. If God says, this is the line, he trusts that God's ways of doing things, God's wisdom is right. And when God tells you, you fall in love with Miss Flirty, she's got, you know, when a girl blinks at you, make sure it's not a dust in her eye. You know, I better not. We fall in love so fast with our eyes. We're attracted to physical beauty. That's what a man does, okay? And it's so easy to think that's real love. And, you know, we always, after we've gone through all of the motions, we've done all the preparations, then we start wondering, I wonder if this is right. And, you know, God gave you some instructions on how to make sure she's the right one. Like, talk to your pastor. Ask, am I ready? You know, I asked, when I met Nita, I was in Bible college, and this girl wanted nothing to do with me. All future wives are always like that. You ever notice that? They want nothing to do with us until we convince them. Anyway, she wanted nothing to do with me, but I was madly in love with my wife, Nita. But I went to my pastor, and I said, am I ready to get married? He said, I've never been asked that. But I was dead serious. Because my dad, after 21 years of marriage, said bye-bye to my mom. And I was determined that I was not going to make that stupid mistake myself. Because his blood flows through me. And so next time you think you got it all figured out, why don't you ask God, what are your ways? Because what does God say in Isaiah? My ways are not your ways. being able to trust that the Lord knows best will help you rest in His ways even when everybody else is going on and doing everything the same. It also, number four, it opened up God's revelation to him. Go to Jan. Oh, I don't know. Okay. Let me just brief. God showed Daniel. When Daniel's heart was at rest, God could trust Daniel with a view of the future, and he knew it wouldn't freak him out. I mean, think about it for a second. He's going to see nations and empires rise and fall. He's going to see the future, and any normal human being would pass out.
Okay.
We don't. You got to understand. He didn't have television.
Amen.
He had never seen an image speak. He had never seen entire empires brought down one after another, toppled by a stone. It was all played out for him. It would have overwhelmed him. If your great grandparents were transported to now, and you showed them on your phone some YouTube, they would pass out.
Yeah,
that's the devil. That's right. He's looking at that, and how can he sit there and watch the future and not freak out? Because he's always at rest, and he says, "Wow." And you're doing all this? Amen. God will, if you learn to rest, God will show you stuff in that Bible He won't show.
Good.
Double PhD.
Good.
Amen.
Amen.
God will teach you what your pastor has never figured out. Not that you're showing off, but you've got a Bible, you have the Holy Spirit, and if you're at rest with the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when you're looking at that Bible, the Lord will show you something. You go, "Pastor, you ever see this?" And if he's a real man of God, he says, "That's good." Now, if he's, "Oh yeah, I've seen that before," he's a liar. Well, wow, folks, let me tell you, God, if you're at rest with your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you can, like Daniel, say, "Whatever God shows me, I just trust Him. I'm in all of it." The Lord says, "Let me show you something now." God did that with Daniel. Chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. He's God, one after another, showing you, "Can you handle this? Here's something else, Daniel. Woo! What do you think, Daniel, about this?" And Daniel's going, "Woo! Because he's at rest, like a roller coaster. He knows God's got a plan." It opened up revelations to him. And the last point, it helped him rest in God's perfect care. Daniel never complained about anything. You know, I've read Daniel probably
humped
11 times. Never thought of that. But anyway, I've read through my Bible 44 times. Daniel, I probably by itself read another 20 times. So let's say. And something funny about Daniel, God never shows anything wrong with him. That blew me away. I mean, if you looked at my life, you recorded my day, you'd find 15 things wrong every day. But then when you're watching Daniel never complained one time about anything he had to go through. And there were times where he was thrown into a lion's den. You think not? There's Daniel writing in his journal, "God, this is unfair. I don't like today." He never yelled at God. Now I have. Is there anybody else in here who's ever just pulled out of a driveway and gone somewhere and just yelled at God? I have. You say, "What happened?" God gave me peace. God can handle your upsetness. But Daniel doesn't yell at God. He doesn't give up on God. He doesn't think God doesn't care about him. Daniel rested. Listen to this. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Why? "Because neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." What is he saying? My sovereignty. My grip on their life. Oh, you don't trust me? Let me tell you about somebody else who's got a hand around my hand. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all." And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's grip. That's a good thing to trust. Amen. Daniel's not... There was a great time when Daniel had to stand before the king, say this is what's going to happen, and face the music. But there was a time when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Brother Declan mentioned it very, very powerfully this morning, where Daniel stood back. I don't know. I just see Daniel sitting with the king. Somebody brings up some grapes, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come up, stand before him, and Daniel takes a big clump of grapes. And there's furious Nebuchadnezzar saying, "I hear you won't bow to my God. All right, we're going to play the music one more time. You bow, and I'll let you go." And there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in unison. "We will not bow." And there's Daniel. He's not worried about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is he? I mean, look. You and I, if I watch some of you go through a hard time, I want to go through it with you. I want to come along and say, "I'll stand with you." Amen. But Daniel is at rest, and he says, "God, you'll take care of them just like you'll take care of me." Now, Daniel didn't know he's going to have to go into the lion's den a few chapters later. But do you not see a person at rest his entire life? You know where he got that from? Mom and Dad. Some preacher. Some Bible teacher. His own personal time with God. He got the ability to trust this name. His name's not just Jesus. His name is the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The sovereign God in the flesh who became a man so that he could die.
Yes, sir.
That's the only reason why he became a man. So that God Almighty could die for you and me. He had a plan. And that great Almighty is with me to the end. Folks, you may be doing great. You may be having the best time of your life. Are you ready for it when it goes south? Are you ready for it when it gets hard? Remember Daniel. He's not bragging. He's just believing. You see the difference between bragging and believing? So I can brag all day until I'm tested and I fail. But this man had a trust. What does our Bible say? And I got three verses to finish up. Let's go. Oh, yeah. You're hitting at me. I hate that. Anyway. Let me get to the concordance. All right. You know about Daniel Lyon's Den. If you're saved, you can relax. Let me tell you. You know why I got saved? Because my preacher preached me onto the precipice of hell. And then let go.
Amen.
And you know, when I got saved, it was on a Sunday night when he preached about unsaved church members, tares among the wheat, people living a lie, faking it, talking the language, and have nothing in their heart. They've never repented, never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to hell, and yet they're sitting right here tonight. And you know, he made it so that I couldn't relax. And if your pastor agitates you, thank him. Amen. Maybe you want to have a woman preacher. It always makes you feel good.
Nah.
I want a man.
Amen.
Who will make me so that I either am at rest in the ruling and the worship of Jesus Christ, or I'm not saved. Where would I go? What would happen to my soul if I die tonight? If you're saved, you can relax no matter what. And I mean no matter what. We were here 20 years ago, 2006, less than 20 years ago. It feels like 20 years ago. I'd like 20 years from now, if the Lord tarries, to see you still stay faithful.
Wow.
Amen?
Yeah, yes, sir.
I like young guys come, preach. I mean, we can have a 15-year-old here preach, amen? That'd be all right with me.
Yeah.
But I want to see that 15-year-old preacher one day turn into a 50-year-old preacher. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? Who doesn't quit? I'm kind of tired of quitters. And if you're 30 years old, 40 years old, 60, 80, 90, if you're saved, you can relax and just keep going. Just keep going. Resting in the sovereignty of God is a choice you make by faith, hour by hour.
Wow.
Hour. Did you know you can rest in your marriage?
Amen.
Why'd you have to say that, Pastor? as messy as your marriage may be and as troublesome as that woman is, you can rest in what God has joined together. You do know God joined you together. Well, I never would make the same decision. It's
too late.
It's too late, yeah. You can rest in your marriage because what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Amen. You say, well, we got married when we were unsaved. It doesn't say only for Christians. Amen. You know, you can rest in your lack of marriage. How many of you are unmarried today? Amen. You know, you can rest in that. You know what Paul says? It's a good thing to be unmarried. And just wait on God. And serve God while you're waiting. You can rest in your lack of marriage. You can rest in your calling. Say, I'm not called to be a preacher. Well, rest in it. Don't panic. But if he's called you, don't panic. You know, the first time I preached, I had 5 pages, handwritten notes. I was given 5 minutes. I had 5 pages. I was given 10 minutes. I had 5 pages, handwritten, single space, small print, because I used to write small. I can't see anything anymore. And I got up there, and I was supposed to preach for 10 minutes in front of the church, and I preached my 5 pages in 5 minutes. Whoa. I don't think I breathed the entire time. That was my first message. Praise God. You can rest in your calling. You know what I felt like when I sat down?
Failure.
You know, you can rest in your race. You know what? They're trying to make everybody guilty. If you're white, oh, you're an oppressor. If you're black, if you're brown, yellow, green, alien, whatever. Everything, everybody, we're all victims. You are designed by God the way you are. And if you're a man, praise God.
Hey.
You do not have to doubt whether your gender is male. Be thankful for who you are. You can rest in your identity in Christ. Who you are by design. Say, well, I got a handicap. You can rest in it. God knew what was going on. Some people are upset because they're too tall. And to ask the gentleman over here, he comes up to this thing and you always see him like this.
You've never done that.
You can rest in how you are. Amen.
Hey.
You can rest in your past.
Yeah.
It's the past, man. I don't live there anymore.
Amen.
I don't live there anymore. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not being mockery, but I want you to know what he says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the
Lord
shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord. You know, that name's missing today. That title. That confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yes, sir.
Do you know it's the only way to be saved is to rest in the sovereignty, the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the only way to get saved. Amen. Now, you don't understand it when you get saved, but you start to. And it's also the only way to stay sane.
Yeah.
Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way. You see somebody else doing well. They're driving a 2022 electric Tesla. And you're still driving a 2002. You know, whatever they made in those days. You quoted the verse just a few moments ago. Trust in the
Lord.
Don't go any further. When was the last time you actually stopped there and went, he is Lord? Be still and know that I am God. Father, we're in the middle of our men's camp and we need you now. I need you. I can brag all day about what I think I can go through until I hit that storm, until I'm sinking and until everything's falling apart, and then how quickly my faith falls apart. Now quickly, my bragging becomes vain. So Lord, please, what we're doing tonight is we've got an example, but I don't want to read about it. I want to live it too. I want to be able to claim the same promises that Daniel claimed, that you are good, that you are holy, you can do no wrong, that you are right in everything you do and every decision you make. God, you are everywhere. You are all powerful. You know everything. You are Lord. And maybe for the first time in my life, I need to let you be in charge. Now, you're still going to get things done. But for the first time, I'm actually going to enjoy it. I'm actually going to sit back and rest in it. Doesn't mean I don't hurt. Doesn't mean I don't get scared. But it means that I can quickly just breathe and know that you're God. But Lord, I pray in this room there may be somebody who's... they've got head knowledge. But in their heart of hearts, they've never asked themselves, where would they go if they died? They've never faced the real truth of they're going to spend eternity somewhere, and it's probably hell if they don't get born again tonight. Lord, let somebody in this room, some young, old, middle-aged, whatever man say, please help me know Jesus and trust him as my Savior. Because I want to follow him. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.